This is a People First Radio podcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
It's clear from the growing body of evidence that mental health services are optimized when providers with backgrounds in primary health care and in mental health care work collaboratively with consumers, their families, and caregivers toward the attainment of goals set by the consumer. Mental health is an integral component of primary health care. Further, there's growing awareness that collaborative care depends on consumer, client, or patient participation in all aspects of self-care, including assessment, intervention, decision-making, and management.
The 16th Annual Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference was held in Calgary, Alberta, in June 2015. A presentation called The Real Deal, Honoring Lived Experiences, included three individuals who shared their experiences with collaborative mental health care. They also offered reflections on successes and challenges involved in the collaborative model of care. Here's Dr. Christine Lilo, the conference co-chair, introducing the second speaker, Catherine Dyer.
I'm Dr. Christine Lilo, and I'm a family physician in community practice, and I also work as a medical director for the South Calgary Primary Care Network, who is a major sponsor for the conference. One of the things that we wanted to do was to ask individuals with lived experience to join us during the conference. During our conversations leading up to today's event, one of the things that came up was, I want to make sure that people know that I'm credible when I talk about the mental health space. And my response was that if you have been going through your journey for 5, 10, 15 years, or you've accessed mental health care once, you're still credible to providers, because the perceptions that patients have around the mental health care that we provide and assist them with are important. And it doesn't matter how much experience you have, it's still important. So I think we can all come from that place today. I used the word patient, and one of the things that we asked our panelists about during the prep was to say, what do you think about that word? What do you think about the word client? What do you think about the word consumer? And so I hope that's something we can use during our discussion time at the end of the talks. Our second speaker today will be Catherine Dyer. And fun fact, I'll start with there, she's my sister. You might see the resemblance. And so I like to say that I voluntold her to join us, but in fact she was chomping at the bit. She had no appreciation of the mental health system and the size of the issue we were trying to tackle until she and her son were plunged into it on December 8th, 2013. She's a mother of a teenage son who is in the system, and she describes this as a family issue. She has a long history of being in the client services world in a corporate capacity and is currently the CIO of Enbridge. She said afterwards, I can share or not share that. So I think it brings a particularly interesting lens for Catherine, because we talk a lot about using corporate speak or corporate principles and applying those to the social sector. And is that a good thing or not?
When I was asked to spend some time with you today, I spoke with my son to see if it was okay for me to tell his story. At 16 years old, he was very wise in his answer, saying, "That's good, Mom, if it will help other kids." So I'm here today telling this story for the first time through my eyes, but on behalf of Mac and our entire family, to a group that can make a difference. I thank you for that opportunity. When I read through this with my son last evening, I actually wrote it on the airplane coming home from Houston last night. I'd been procrastinating putting this together. It made him sad to hear it through my eyes, but it helped me improve what you're going to hear today, so honor that we're in that place together. I want to set the stage for how we entered into the system and which we're still in today. And Christine talked about our story began December 8th, 2013, shortly after midnight. There was a knock on our door, and I peeked outside, and there was two police officers standing on the front porch. I opened the door, assuming that there'd been a break-in in the area, but was surprised when they asked me if I knew where my son was. Well, he was downtown. He was downstairs, of course. We've all just gone to bed after picking up him from work at 11 o'clock. At this point, they asked me if I could go get him, and they followed me down the hall to when I called for him. He appeared and came upstairs looking scared. The police officer asked him, "Do you want me to tell your mom what's going on, or do you want to do it?" My son paused and turned to me and said, "I texted my friend to say goodbye. I was going to kill myself. I can't even do that right, Mom. I'm sorry." At that point, the police took over and explained what would happen. They took my son into their care and told me he was going to Children's Hospital and that I should meet them there. I am a single mom. I was left in the dark in the winter, alone, to get my way to the hospital with a 13-year-old daughter who was terrified. And most of the rest, I truly don't remember, other than my sister, Christine, coming to stay with my daughter and me arriving at the hospital in a blizzard and snowstorm. My son was sedate and still with the police officer who had stayed with him at the Children's Hospital until I arrived. He was processed into crisis care, and we entered the system. Our family felt broken, and as a parent, I was lost. We've been asked to comment on what worked and what did not work for us as we've engaged with the system to recover as a family. I look through the eyes of a mother who is using services personally, as an advocate and an observer for my son, who is on this journey, but also, as Christine talked about, as a leader of large services organizations with experiences across many industries. So you'll see a little bit of that lens in my comments. So here's what's worked well for us. Without question, the quality of care we received during our crisis event was solid. I find it incredible that during a time where it was as impossible as a parent to hear, the care team at the Children's Hospital were both gentle but very clear. It should be noted the Calgary police were wonderful in their support, and my son actually talks about a career in policing, a future, thank goodness, because of the impact that interaction had on his life that evening. Our family physician, I don't know if you say names here, but Dr. Lisa Penner is our family physician, and she was exceptional with us. She spent time with us, referred us, and she had this unique ability to draw out of my son his story. She was a key quarterback early days in the care that we pulled together, and one of the themes you'll hear about from me today was it was pulled together. It felt like it was pulled together and not coordinated. Medication was a help. Simply, it was help. In March 2015, after two additional incidents of self-harm with my son, we landed in a care team model at the South Calgary Health Campus in the Youth and Mental Health and Addictions Outpatient Program. It has been the lifeline that our family has needed. His care leader, Shannon, has connected with him in a way that has opened him up. I now get to be the mom, not the trauma team, the care team, and the mom. My son has now asked me to stop putting the mother into smother. He has full access to resources now who communicate to each other, and those resources communicate back with me. This group, the group therapy that he's in, has been a big part of what my son has felt has helped the most, and I see his confidence growing, kids helping kids. I feel like I can breathe, and it's neat to see him starting to emerge out of his shell. Another thing that worked well, the organization I work for, Enbridge, was incredible in terms of offering any and all support, both in terms of resources, flexibility, and the financial support through a benefits program that allowed us to access whatever care we needed. And I can't thank them enough. They have the most loyal employee for the rest of my career. Community. We have realized as we reached out how many others were impacted by mental health issues, and connecting with groups in the South Calgary Health Campus has allowed my son to see and feel that other kids are struggling with what he is. This is a huge step forward in changing his view of isolation. Seeing is believing for these kids. They feel like they're the only ones going through this. Group needed to be a part of the equation much earlier on for my son. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the things that did not work well and were really frustrating as a parent and frustrating for my son. And I thought it would be easier to characterize these into some themes. First is the unknown unknown. It's a word we like to use a lot in the corporate world. We were really new to all of this and felt completely alone. I know now that there's many caught up in mental health issues, but it was isolating, and we didn't even know the questions to ask. I recall a few nights after our crisis and being discharged from the Children's Hospital that I was online trying to look for resources, and I was Googling, you know, kids, how to help kids with suicide tendencies, parents of kids that are, I Googled everything. I'm in IT. I Googled everything. So I finally got in touch with the Distress Center, which is a great organization, but I disconnected in frustration when the person on the other part of my chat had left me on hold for minutes at a time and had asked me whether I was a danger to myself. What I needed was a call from a parent who had come through this hell, not a counselor, but to tell me what practically they had done, where to start. I now get to chat or listen to other parents as we wait at the South Calgary Health Campus for our kids to come out of appointments. It's kind of like a bit of the breakfast club. I think this demographic will get that. We just call it the hallway club. So that's where we sometimes connect and support each other. Second theme is safety and access. None of the first months felt safe for me. I felt it was unreasonable to wait weeks to get my son into his next appointment after he came out of the crisis care at the hospital. It was near Christmas. System was at capacity. And he was stable enough to go home, and I was responsible enough to take him. I felt like the mom going home with the newborn going, really? I don't think I'm equipped to deal with this. I remember sitting on the floor at his room at night when I couldn't calm the panic and checked on him several times a night for months, and still do sometimes. It was like having a newborn. I was fortunate, but not everybody is, to be able to access private care. But that left me to shuttle him between family doctors, private psychologist appointments, neither of whom spoke to each other. I was that connector and that aggregator of information. The daytime commitments made it difficult for my son, because he constantly was out of school, adding to his feelings of being different. When you include dealing with school meetings to make sure he has a support at school and a safety plan, the first month was a blur of driving, appointments, and a whole lot of tears. Medication was a million-dollar question that really felt like we rolled around on. Now, he's finally on medication and has made a huge difference in his ability to cope, but it felt a bit directionless at points early on in his care. The third theme I want to talk about is lack of integration, and I want to be clear on this. Both my son and I had to repeat our stories many times to many people. I run a very large information technology organization, and the bottom line is the ability of systems to talk together to make things easier for people. And we use these systems to make things efficient. I look at each person that we dealt with in this system as a little system, and we need to create a better way to connect those systems. I believe technology can play a part in how we solve this problem. I also believe that the general busy level of the healthcare professionals that carry this system on their back will sub-optimize any technology that you put in place. So it's only part of the problem or the solution. This leads me to my last theme, which is community. People that have been on this path, both as patients and as the family impacted, are part of that solution. I put my hand up first to help. Even in our darkest hours, I was committed to the work that needs to be done to evolve the system. Knowing it was not easy for people made me personally accountable for being part of the solution. My son has talked to me of his desire to make it easier for others on his journey. That's also got to be part of our equation. There are connections everywhere when you tell your story. You are connected to others who are on a similar journey, and sharing helps. I'm inspired by Eric Windler, who I had a chance to meet the last time in Toronto. Eric and his wife have taken the suicide of their son and turned it into a cry for change. They've established an organization, and I think there's some folks here from Ontario that might have heard of jackdoc.org. And really what it is a national network of young leaders transforming the way we think about mental health. And it's using schools, and it's about prevention. I believe, much as others who have had children that have been touched by this, there needs to be changes beside treatment. There needs to be changes in prevention. Part of that work for my son is when he reached out on text that night, and the person on the other end of that phone did the right thing. They told their parents, who called the police. That all happened in minutes. I believe my son is alive today due to the education that has happened in schools, and deeply believe that there's more work to be done, not just with youth, but to generally drag mental health issues and the impact that they have on our society out into the light of day and just be with it. What I've learned is that this is a really hard illness. There were signs I saw and I didn't know what to do with, and signs I simply missed as a parent. Mental health issues are hidden and they're unique to each person that struggles with it and the families that support them. And the solution has to be a holistic one that treats both the friends, the individual, the families, and everybody in that community that's impacted by this. Here's what I celebrate. I celebrate my son's improvements and our family's healing. I celebrate the healthcare team of people that care as much about my son as I do, who walk that very fine line between his need for confidentiality as he goes through his journey and my need to know everything and just know that he's okay. So I accept that that's a very hard line for the people that dispense help. We, Mac, Maddie, and I, want to thank you for the opportunity to share our story today, and we hope that it provides a nugget of just an idea that can improve how we tackle this mental health issue together. Thank you.
That was Catherine Dyer sharing her collaborative healthcare experiences at the 16th Annual Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference in Calgary, Alberta, in June 2015.
The next Collaborative Mental Health Care Conference will be held in Kelowna, British Columbia, in June 2016. You can find out more online at shared-care.ca, and that's shared-care.ca. And we'd like to thank the Canadian Collaborative Mental Health Care Initiative for content used in the preparation of this segment.
People First Radio is an initiative of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and broadcast on CHLY 101.7, radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the partnering organizations. Listen to People First Radio on demand. Just Google People First Radio to find our web pages.